There is a secret to greatness. LeBron James came into the league as a rookie, 18 years old. He was a good player, but not great. Made a lot of mistakes. But he sort of did what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Every summer after the league was over playing basketball, he would get videotape of himself. And he would figure out what he did wrong. And he would pick one or two things and work on them. When he first came in, he could not hit a three-point shot, long-distance shot. He's not a good jump shooter. But recently, between him and his teammate, 3 or 4 years ago, they won an NBA title because he fixed that flaw. He shoots almost 50% from three-point line. 1 year, I want to be more efficient. I'm going to choose better shots. He shot 50-something percent from the field, almost unheard of for a forward. 1 year, I'm going to make everybody else around me better. I'm going to raise my assists. He helped his team get better. All the players on the team raised their level. If you have your Bible, James chapter 1, the secret to greatness. Now let's take the goal and change it. It is no longer to be the best basketball player in the world. It is now to be the closest to the image of Christ that you can be. Let me read this verse to you. Colossians chapter 3. Don't turn there, but listen. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed, rebuilt, renovated, changed after the image of him that created him. So our goal is to become in the image of Christ. Now, you're here tonight on a Sunday night. That's rare. When I was in Bismarck, North Dakota, which you might think is a small town, it's not that small, a couple hundred thousand people, I could not find a church to go to on Sunday night. None were open. What happened? Now, I just want to explain this to you. Let's take a reason why you're here tonight, that you can grow and be more like Christ. I hope it's not because that's what Baptists do, because that's not a good reason. The reason is you've come because you would like to change your heart to be more in the image of Christ. And that can't be done in an hour out of 168 hours in a week. You're here tonight, you've got your Bible in your lap, and we're going to go through the secret to greatness. The problem is there are a couple things about greatness. It takes a vision, it takes a plan, but it also takes a will. Most people have neither. They're just moseying through the Christian life, trying to stay out of trouble, trying to be a good guy, but they're not reaching forth to greatness. Why do you think the Lord made you? That every one of us could be the best we could be for Him. It would change our marriages. It would make them all sweet. It would change our families. Children would support their parents and love their parents and support their friends and talk good about them. And their friends would look at them and say, boy, I want to live like that. Everybody here would be an example. Where are those kind of Christians? The desire for greatness. If you have your Bible, James chapter 1, in verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word." In order to do that, you have to have the will to be great. If you're not a good dribbler in NBA, you got to practice your dribbling. Hours and 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 hours. If you're not a good shooter, you practice your jump shot. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. How many of you knew that Michael Jordan had a beautiful home in Chicago at 50-something thousand square feet? But you know what 15,000 of it was? A gym in his backyard. And it had fluorescent lights. It was a beautiful gym, wood floor, just like an NBA gym without the bleachers. Because nobody came to watch, he came to work. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, I'm going to give you the steps to greatness. Notice, but be ye doers of the word. You got to have the will. You got to want to be a good Christian. You got to want to be a good husband. You got to want to be a good wife. You got to want to be a good daughter or good son. You got to want to be a good brother. You've got to want, you got to reach forth. You got to stretch for it. You got to push yourself past what you've ever done before. Well, Pastor, my marriage is okay. Well, then this verse is not for you. Because greatness comes from these verses. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know what a hearer is? It's if you came to church tonight and you left and you started talking about work tomorrow and you didn't gain anything to change in your life. Hearers only. Oh, I heard what Pastor said. That's a good thought. Blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't reach the heart. Now follow with me. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What's that word? Deceiving your own selves. So a hearer deceives themselves into thinking, I'm okay. I'm good. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I read my Bible. I'm in the choir. I'm good. But your mate sits right there and says, boy, I wish we could be like we were. I wish we could be like what my dream is. Do you know what? You can't dream higher than the Lord. Verse 23. But if any be the hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man that beholding his natural face in a glass. He takes a mirror. He looks in the glass. And he beholdeth himself. Now, I'm going to take just a minute and go through a couple of these words so that you can contemplate really what they mean. The word beholdeth himself means consider attentively. He looks at himself, his flaws. How many of you have looked at your flaws recently? Your weaknesses. That's what a mirror is for. It's not for you to brag on yourself and say, wow, I'm a good-looking dude. That's not what the mirror is for. The mirror is for you to look in and say, I need to fix this. I need to work on this. And the reason it's not for you to check your makeup is because this is a man looking at the mirror. I just want you to know that. Notice. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. He holds the mirror up and he looks into it real close and he checks. And goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So this is what a hearer does. He looks at him, looks at it real close, says, good, and he walks on. Lays down the mirror and he goes on the day and he doesn't think a thing about it. Now, this is talking about a mirror looking on the outside. But really what he's talking about in the passage is the mirror that reflects the inside. That lets you see, oh my, I've got a temper. my, I lust. Oh no, I'm bitter. Really? I didn't see that before. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He makes the decision, my flaw is not too bad. He's not looking for greatness. Well, I'm as good as so-and-so. LeBron James would have never become the best basketball player in the world today if he would have done that 14 years ago. I'm as good as so-and-so. Yep, I scored 23 points a game. Yep, I'm good enough. Looks at himself and notice the wording, and goeth his way. In other words, there's no attention to detail. There's no urgency to be great. There's no honesty in your heart. Would you be honest with yourself tonight? What really kind of a Christian example are you? Take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to take a portion of one chapter and I'm going to hit four or five things. Look in the mirror of the Word of God. Verse number 5. Mortify. You know what the word mortify means? Put to death. Take this out of your heart. Fornication or desire for thereof. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, homosexuality. Evil concupiscence, desires that are past what God wants. Covetousness, a desire for things that's past what God wants. Idolatry. We're probably all guilty of this, even though no one in this room that I know of kneels down before an idol in your home and lights incense and you worship this idol. I don't think anybody in this room does that. But Jesus is not first. He's not the reason you get up in the morning and you look into the Word of God and you say, Lord, what is it today I can change for your sake? Follow with me. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Wrath. Anger is a loss of temper. Wrath is too much passion. A lot of men have too much passion. Have to rein it in a little bit. You get too exercised over things. They bother you too much. It shows. It scares people. Malice. You want to pay people back. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication doesn't always have to be dirty language. It'll be a lot of things. Notice the next one. Lie not one to another. How many of you lie? I was with somebody 2 weeks ago, says, yeah, I lie all the time. They're 16 years old. I said, but I'm trying to change it. At least they aren't a hearer, totally. Not a doer. Notice now, look in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Be merciful. Do you see kindness in your life? Do you see humbleness of mind in your life? Do you see yourself as lower and less than others? Or do you see yourself better than others? That's what that means. Meekness. Are you easy to get along with? Or does everything bother you? Long-suffering. Are you patient with those around you? Do you put up with things that they do wrong? How are you with your children? How are you with your wife? How are you with your husband? Verse 13, forbearing one another. You're willing to look over a flaw that someone has that's close to you, an action that they do, you're willing to look over it. It's not the end of the world, even though it's wrong. And forgiving one another, you're willing to send it away forever and never bring it up again. There are very few Christians that forgive regularly everything for the cause of Christ. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So somebody's got something against you and they're wrong, will you forgive them? Why should I forgive them? They're the one that's wrong. You missed the point. Verse 16, let the word of Christ, the word of God, the mirror, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it make a difference in your heart. Let the word of God affect your life. Let the word of God change you to make you more like Christ today than you were last week. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let it have a home in your heart. It's not just something you invite in as a visitor, but it's something that's permanent. That's the reason you're here tonight on a Sunday night. You want something to be permanent in your life. You want to be different. You'd like to please Christ. Do you understand tonight that the Bible is about you and I looking into it and seeing ourselves spiritually, ourselves emotionally, and saying, I'm not where I ought to be. I don't want to be a hearer. I don't want to look at it and go my way. That is most Christians in America. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So there's a corporate image. Let's look at us ourselves in the Word of God. Are we singing and rejoicing in our hearts to the Lord when we come to church? That's the purpose of the songs. It's not filler for the service. Notice this. In whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus. You know, I try to learn things from people. I try to learn things. I try to pick up things that I can do better. The dog that I have that Susan left me, I put up with her, but she's kind of got into my heart a little bit. But I'm glad I don't have to take care of her all the time. I tried to give her away, but Manny and the kids didn't want to do that. And so, you know, I go out and go swimming. I try to swim regularly every day if I can. And when I put on my swimming trunks, the dog starts going crazy because she wants to go swimming. So she jumps up and down on my leg, and she goes running around in circles trying to find her ball. Now, she loves to play ball. And I've got a point here I'm getting to. So I go outside, and I pull off the cover of the pool. I'm getting ready to go swimming. And there's this pink mat that Susan used to get on where she could exercise a little bit better. And it's a float mat. And so Susan, the dog would get on the float mat. And Susan would get off in the water. And that way the dog could be near Susan in the water. Dumb, crazy. But the dog loved it. So, I don't know when it happened, but we have a little rubber ball that she starts barking when we got the ball. So I'd throw it up in the air and she'd try to catch it. And she'd knock it in the water. And she'll get right at the edge of that thing and she'll just try to get it. I mean, stretch for all that she's worth. Well, then you pick up the ball, start throwing it, so she'll run all over that mat. She'll fall into the water, get back up on the mat. She just wants that ball. You take the ball, throw it out in the yard. She'll jump over the edge of the pool. And when she starts running, I think of this verse. Whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. Last night, I went swimming late, or the night before that, I don't remember which it was now. She wanted to go swimming. So I went out and said, okay, come on. I don't like it because I can't get the right exercise in because she's always in the way and wants me to throw the ball. So I'll take the ball and throw it, and then I'll swim a little bit. She comes back, drops it in the water, I throw it again. And I did that for 45 minutes. Did you know the 45th time or the 85th time that I threw that ball out there, she took off at the exact same pace as she took off the first time. It was amazing to me. I said, Lord, help me to work like that. You know, when she starts running, you can just see her feet tearing up the grass, trying to get there. I mean, she's just charging. After an hour, I said, don't you ever get tired? And then I looked up at the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry I get tired of trying my best for you all the time, every time. So then I got out of the pool, dried off, sat in my chair, and relaxed a little bit. Well, you know what she did? She brought that ball over and laid it right there and started barking at me. Said, I'm tired. And I'm telling you, took off just like an hour ago, as hard as she could go, around the chairs, around the, I mean, off out in the grass, and got it, came right back, dropped it right back down there again. I said, I'm done. And I went inside, and I was drying off, putting on my clothes, and she brings it over in the bathroom and drops it down. Are you one track dog? I kick it over there and I turn. You could hear the carpet as she's tearing out after it. Now, I want to just tell you, all I'm trying to get you to understand is this. It's amazing that she could love something so much that there's no difference in the effort from the first time to the last time if it's an hour. Now, when I go sit down, she'll come up and lay down on my lap. And she'll just crash. But I said, Lord, help me to work myself to exhaustion for you. I don't do that all the time. She has no ability to pace herself at all. You know what? I think that's what the word, notice the wording. And whatsoever you do in word, do all in the name of the Lord. There's the motive. Everything that you do, do for Christ. Do it all for Christ. And notice verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Every time you do something, do it to the best of your ability. How many of you look in the mirror and say, I don't do that? Do you realize what kind of workers Christians would be if we just live like that? If we tried our very best on everything we did every day of our life, heartily as unto the Lord, where are those kind of Christians that strive for greatness? This is a dog that has no desires in the world but to go get a ball. But the example is there for all of us, for me. Lord, help me from the first time I start trying something for you to the last time that I always give it my best. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Have you looked into the Word of God or any of those flaws in your life? Children, verse 20, obey your parents in the Lord obey your parents in all things. How many of you do that? With all my might, everything my parents say, that's what I'm going to do. They say, I want you to do better in your grades, that's what I'm going to do. They say, I want to pick up my room, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, with all my heart, I like people that give it their all. And so does the God of heaven. Do you love your husband with all you got? Do you love your wife with all you got? You're going to find in the Bible, he uses a lot of total terms. Everything, all. Your best, first. Let every word. God looks at us and gives us no outs. Notice, if you would, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. How many of us do that? Notice, if you would, chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. How do you walk at work? How do you walk in your neighborhood? Verse 6, let your speech, here's another one of those everything words. let your speech be most of the time. When I think, see always, I see that dog running on the 50th time. All out. Lord, help me to be like that. Always. Let your speech be always with grace. Lord, help me to always say things gracefully. You know, I don't. Sometimes I have to go back to people and say, I'm sorry. I was not real kind. I mean, I didn't use grace like I should have. I'm sorry. I've never cursed at somebody or yelled at somebody. I mean, in anger. But I get frustrated, and sometimes I'm not kind. Anybody here like that? When you look into the Word of God, you see yourself. You see your flaws. Notice, if you would, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Here's the word, that ye may know how you ought to answer most men. Another absolute. Every man. Do you know there's nobody that God could send your path that you could say, I just can't deal with that guy anymore? How many have ever had that thought? I just can't deal with that person anymore. How many of you? Come on, tell me. How many of you have ever said, I can't deal with that person anymore? I'm frustrated. I can't deal with him. I just go to the other room. I can't deal with you anymore. How many ever had that thought? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise it up. Wait a minute. Look around you. Do you see? You know what? You need the Word of God. Well, I'm in that same thing. Now, let's go back to James. I want you to see this. And I went all through that just so you could understand there are things we all have needs of. Now, notice, if you would, let's look at verse number 25. But whoso looketh, now this word is a different word than look. It's not the normal word for look. It's parakupto. It is to lean over something and really look at it. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I mean, you look into the Word of God and you're trying to find something. Yesterday, somebody called me, and I didn't answer them because I'd taken my phone off. I almost never take my phone off. But when now I go mow the yard and get in the yard, I take my phone off. Now, I saw you laughing, John Stryker. Why is it I take my phone off when I go mow the yard? Because I mowed my phone one time, and it doesn't work when you mow your phone. It was the most awful-looking piece of metal after that blade hit it. I was sick at my stomach. I actually saw it. I was on my rider. I saw it, and I said, that's my phone. Oh, no. Had to go get another phone. So now I take my phone off. So I had it off all afternoon. I was outside working in the yard and mowing a little bit, cutting some trees and spraying trees. I was just doing all kinds of stuff. And then it was about 8 o'clock at night, and I used my phone as my alarm. So I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's about 9 something. I looked at it and I said, there's somebody calling me, text me. They're in the room today. And I didn't answer them. But before that, let me tell you what happened. I said, you know, I'm getting ready to go to bed. Where's my phone? And I went to the car. Wasn't there. I went to the garage. Maybe I laid it there. I remember laying it there, but that was last week. Where did I leave my phone? Where did I leave my... Anybody here ever lost your phone? I don't mean you lost it. You just misplaced it. How panicked were you when you looked at the first 36 places and it wasn't there? I mean, now you're doing this word. You're looking. Where is it? Where did I put it? Sure enough, I put it where it was supposed to be. I went there and found it. I said, oh, Lord, thank you for letting me find that phone. Looked at it, I had a bunch of messages. I just did, first time in a long time, I just took the phone off. But I was working in the yard, and so I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, why don't I look like that, with that desperation? And then I read this passage, and I saw this word, and I realized that's the word for desperate looking. Whoso wants to be great in his spiritual walk, who wants to be like Christ, whoso looketh, whoso desperately looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Continue. It is paramental. It's to remain alongside. It's to always be there, just to stick with something. You just continue therein. I mean, you're not going to give up on it. To remain beside one who stays with the Bible as his guide. It's the perfect law of guidance to my life, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to desperately look into it till I find what I need to fix my flaw. And continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That's what God wants us to do. When you have a weakness of temper, memorize the Word of God. Now let me just take a minute. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119 real quickly. Psalm 119. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Look, if you would, Psalm 119. The secret to greatness. Holiness. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now you could be an old man. How will you cleanse your life? How will you change your life to the purity Christ wants it? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Heed, Hebrew word for diligent attention. With my whole heart, every one of the 100 times I throw the ball, getting it with all your might. With my whole heart have I sought thee. If you want to be great, you have to be desperate to change. And therein lies the difference. Desperate parents are good parents. Because they don't give up. They realize there's an answer in the perfect law of liberty, and they're not giving up till they find it. They may have made mistakes, and it may be way down the road, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do the best that I can. Every time I'm going to get it. With my whole heart, I'm going to do it. Where are the Christians that desire to reach forth and be great? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How many of you think God wants you to wander from his commandments? Not one person in this room. So David says, Lord, help me not to stray from what I see. Help me to be a doer of the word. Verse 11. So how do I keep from wandering? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, so if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Notice with me if you would. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law. You know what he's trying to say? The wisest man to ever live? He's trying to say, son, you can't be a hearer and not a doer. You've got to pay attention. You've got to give your best when you're reading your Bible. So if you're going to have your devotions this morning, in the morning, you can't get up and do your points for point's sake. That won't change you. It might give you points if you're a teenager. You can't up and just get up and read it and say, well, honey, I had my devotions this morning. Lord, I had my devotions this morning. You have to try to, Lord, show me my flaws. Show me the answer to my flaws. So I can take that word of God and hide it into my heart. and I can change because I remember what you said about something. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. So what is the fruit of that? Trusting in the Lord, not resting upon your own decisions, leaning not into your own understanding. What is it? He shall direct thy paths. So if you're not sure of which house to buy, if you're not sure of which job to get, if you're not sure which girl to marry or boy to marry, if you're not sure which college to go to, then take it and lay it out in all your ways. Lord, I give you my life. You choose the direction. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lord, you're first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto your brother. Nope, unto you. So if you're struggling with the direction of your life, then trust the Lord and lay it all out for him and say, Lord, you show me and I'll do it. And he shall direct thy paths. So if that your flaw is trusting the Lord, if your flaw is, are you doing the right thing in your life? There's a secret to your life. By the way, that was Susan's life verse. She wanted to be in the will of God every day of her life. So she said, I'm going to trust the Lord every day and you direct my life. Notice, if you would, in verse number take your Bible and turn me, if you would, to Proverbs 15. How many of you struggle sometimes to say the right words? How many of us use the wrong words? Say it the wrong way, choose the wrong words. Okay, watch. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Now, that's not a solution. It's just a statement. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Well, I know that, Lord. What's the answer? Well, notice, if you would, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Do you do that? But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So do you study God's word and say, Lord, help me to say the right things? Do you know, most of the times when we get into a debate with somebody, we either don't say the right thing or we don't say it the right way. Now take your Bible and turn to close. We'll close this verse, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians. And notice this verse. We read it tonight. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Okay, so how is it that I can walk in wisdom toward people without? How is it can I use my wisdom to say the right things? How is it that I can use the wisdom of God to always know what I should answer? Okay, follow with me. Let your speech be always with grace. Okay, the first thing I need to do is learn to always be good to people the way I talk. Season with salt. I got to always filter what I say. I should never say what I think, that ye may know what you ought to say, not did say, to every man. Let me ask this question. Is your wife one of the every in that verse? Yes. Is your husband one of the every in that verse? Yes. So then study to know how to talk. Study God's word. Lord, show me. Let my speech be always with grace. Lord, help me never to lie in my speech. Lord, help me to be gracious in my speech. Lord, help me to put salt on it. I take out some of the words that I want to say, but I know they're not right. Lord, help me to know how I ought to answer every man. Do you understand God will do that? Apparently, Job at one point in time had a problem with wrong thoughts about women, so he said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Job, one of the greatest Christians to ever live. He figured out, looked into the Word of God and said, uh-oh, I gotta change something. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Maybe there's some men here today, you need to do that. Whatever the flaw, the answer is right here. Greatness is achievable. Not in the eyes of people in this room, but in his eyes. He doesn't have many great Christians. He said of John the Baptist is the greatest man born of women. So John must have studied a lot and changed a lot so he could be like Christ. Today, could I challenge you? Could I encourage you? Not just to come to church, but look into the law of liberty and say, that's what I need to do. Admit it to yourself. Maybe go home and ask your wife, what thing could I change that would mean the most to you? Ask your husband, what thing could I change that would mean the most to you? To your brother, what could I change to mean the most to you? To your coworkers, hey, what could I change to be the greatest help to you? Desire greatness in the eyes of the Lord, and you can know what you ought to answer every person. Tonight, are you desiring greatness? Or are you settling for mediocrity? In the eyes of the world, mediocre is great. But that's why the world is lost and on its way to hell. Because in Jesus' day, with 12 men, they reached the whole world. But they were all out every day of their lives. Let's pray. Today, are you all out for Christ? I wish I could get the wives in this room to say, I want to be the greatest wife I can be for my husband. I'll get you to focus upon yourself. If you change yourself, it will affect everything around you for good. I wish I could get some husbands in the room and say, I want to be the best husband I could be. So you forget about yourself, you begin to be a blessing to your wife. I wish I could get the workers in this room, the bosses in this room, to say, I want to be the best boss I can be. What can I do to change to be the best boss I could be? The Lord said, masters, you're going to give an account to God in heaven. It's not just making money. It's the way you live. It's knowing how you ought to answer every man. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Page 389 is your all on the altar. Could I urge you to come? I'm not asking you, are you okay? I'm asking you, are you willing to be great? It's a lot of work, studying, changing, memorizing, remembering what God said. I want to be in your image. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me. Help me every time you throw the ball to give it my best because of your namesake. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Whoso looketh in the word of the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein can be great. Lord, would you help us to do that? In your name we pray.